Hey, welcome back to the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, the only NFL podcast where one of the hosts sits on the other host's lap while they record. At least I hope that's true. I really hope so. I am joined this week, not only by Lenny, but also by my good friend, frequent collaborator, who is definitely here because I want him and not because he was the only person I knew I could count on to work the day after Christmas. Dominique Foxworth, welcome back to the show, bud.
Oh, great introduction. No problem, buddy. I'm happy to be here. I missed you.
Happy Boxing Day.
Oh, absolutely. For all our Canadian fans, when is the Grey Cup? Did that happen already?
Is that, ooh, the Grey Cup. Yeah, I got to get into the CFL.
No, you don't.
I want to learn about the rules. No, did you ever think about playing in the CFL? That ever crossed
hell
your
mind? Hell no. Why would I play
No offense to
at what point?
CFL fans out there. Yeah, I guess.
I mean, the CFL fans would also say hell no. They would not play in the CFL if they didn't have to. Like, I had teammates who played in CFL, but I played in the NFL and I was done.
Well, I was going to say, sometimes it's like when your NFL career is dwindling and you're bouncing around. Obviously, this was not your situation, but when guys are bouncing around practice squads, you know, then the CFL becomes a viable option. Boxing is not about boxing, by the way. I just found that out. I always thought it had to do with boxing, like the sport.
Like physical boxing? Oh, no, yeah. No, I didn't know much about Boxing Day until, I guess, 5 or 6 years ago is when I kind of heard about Boxing Day. I never assumed that the nicest country in the world had a holiday that was about punching each other in the face. Like, I didn't fall for that.
Well, they've celebrated in Europe and they treat it like Black Friday, so it's like a big shopping day, apparently.
Buy me something.
I found that out. I'm giving you the incredible opportunity to appear on the Mina Kimes Show the day after Christmas. So, really quick, you know, there are some very consequential games this coming weekend, right? We've got the Titans and the Colts play in games for the Ravens, the Steelers, the Vikings, the Eagles, where, you know, you win and you're in, you lose and you're out. And then obviously there are still games remaining that will determine seeding. But rather than talk about the matchups in some of those games, I'd rather talk about all of the teams, because finally we're sort of winnowing down to the teams that are likely to be in the playoffs. And there's a few teams that we'll find out if they make it or not. So I was thinking, in the spirit of the season, we're going to run through all of these teams. I think it's like 12 or 13 that still have a shot. No, it's more than that. It's 14 or 15. And Dominique and I are going to give each of them a New Year's resolution for the playoffs. Just something that they need to do to have a shot in this thing. Dominique, I give you the NFC. Is that okay?
All right, that's great. I also 5-6 years ago, I learned the word winnowing. I always thought that it was whittling down because it's like you whittle something, like a woodworker. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, you can use either, I think. They're kind of interchangeable.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought I was using it wrong for my entire life.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've winnowed down all of the guest co-hosts. You're the first person, by the way, to do three times now. This is your third appearance on the Mina Kimes Show.
I'm the best. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter how many times. Doesn't matter. I don't feel as comfortable. Did you hear the anxiety in my voice? Like, I don't feel as great as I once felt about saying I was the best, because you went and got a real guest, which annoys me.
You didn't sound like you believed it when you just said it now. You like
I don't
usually
believe
it anymore. I know it's like your thing is like, I'm the best. I'm the this.
I mean, I'm honest with myself. I'm not the best anymore. After today, I'll be the best. Let's get to these games or these teams.
All right.
I messed up already.
All right. So we're going to kind of start with the teams that are already, you know, locked in. Kind of go from top seed. Again, most of these seeds aren't even locked, but we're going to go from the top to Titans Colts at the end. So why don't you go first and give us a New Year's resolution, a playoff resolution for the New Orleans Saints?
Play the ball. Excuse me. Play the man, not the ball. Is their resolution for the coming year? Because the only thing that's in my mind for the Saints that I'm sure Saints fans will not appreciate me bringing up is last year when their defensive back, whose name I refuse to bring up because I hope that we all forget his name, he played the ball and missed it altogether. And then we were given the gift of the Minnesota Miracle, which was a great thing for everyone in the country except for that Saints team, which was a legitimate Super Bowl contender last year. So please, last play of the game, tackle the dude. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. And a more, I guess, less obvious one is throw the ball deep to Ted Ginn. Ted Ginn is back. He's been gone. He's been injured for much of the season. And as foolish as this sounds, I think Ted Ginn is very important to that offense.
They no, need, you're absolutely right.
Okay. I thought I was going out on a limb with something stupid. Okay.
Taken gets a bad rap. Okay. Taken, like, I feel like he's had some, you know, all those drops early in his career, and people think of him as being sort of unreliable and unimportant. But I actually think, Dominic, you really saw how important he was in his absence, right? When Breeze, not that his absence explains the Saints' offensive slump, that would be crazy, but after a certain amount of time, you know, Drew Brees throwing to extremely random guys over and over and over doesn't work out, okay? Because after Michael Thomas, people forget that that Saints pass catcher core is pretty unremarkable. So I do think absolutely having Ted Ginn Jr. as a deep ball threat matters a lot to this offense.
Oh, all right. Well, I thought you were going to laugh at me and say it was ridiculous, but I think that one of the toughest things about playing defense is when a team makes you, defend the entire field. And I think the Saints are awesome at making you defend the width of the field because in part, those running backs, and they have a great receiver, in Michael Thomas, who is essentially like an old fashioned possession receiver. Is not, while he does make some big plays, he's not a deep down the field type of receiver. And then you bring in Taysom Hill, who's kind of another guy who makes you defend the width of the field. But they aren't making people, what made them great in the past was there was this threat that they could go deep on you, and that's been gone. And I think they're tied, their deepest receivers or the guys who made the biggest, passing plays were tied as amongst four guys, one of which was Benjamin Watson. So that tells you what their deep threat was, situation was after
Dan Arnold. There was a guy named Dan Arnold who dropped in the last game. Yeah. NFL player.
That's worse. I thought Benjamin Watson, because we all think of him as an older giant tight end. I thought that would shock people, but also saying the name Dan Arnold is your deep threat, that works too.
Has there ever been a least NFL name than Dan Arnold?
I think
Arnold?
You just said it. Dan Arnold is it. Is there somebody? I feel like Mitchell Trubisky, we accept that he's an NFL quarterback now, but if somebody said, I got this guy, Mitchell Trubisky, you're not thinking that he's an NFL player, are you?
I just looked up Dan Arnold. I was really hoping he would not be white, but he is white because
I didn't need to Google that.
I'm sorry. He's, you know what? And I don't mean to trash him. Like, he had a really great game, that one game where like all of the unrecognizable guys were catching balls from like the undrafted guys from Duke Brees. My point is not that he's bad. It's that, again, if you lock down Michael Thomas when Ted Ginn Jr. was out, we saw the issues that created. So I agree with you. I'm not terribly worried about the offense. I think if the Saints do have an issue in the postseason, it's going to be that secondary, which, you know, has largely been really, really good over the second half of the season. But again, we're looking for the one thing where they really need to lock it down. And I think you're right to single out the Saints secondary and, you know, playing
Well, you single out the secondary. I was pointing out the fact that they need a deep threat to stretch the field and force teams to defend them deep also.
Okay, that as well. Okay, so I'm going to move on to my first AFC team. And I'm going to go with the team that just lost to the Seattle. I don't know if you saw that game. They lost to Seattle. I mean, you know, it was just like no big deal. Don't want to talk about it a lot. Didn't want to, you know, make a big stink about it. But I will talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. So my resolution for them is actually kind of similar in some ways. That the pass defense, the secondary, so they're not good. That's obvious. That's been the case all. See, everyone knows that. But in particular, because they're not particularly talented, they're not particularly fast, and they're going to get a lot of penalties. They got to tackle, though. At least. And so just to talk about the Seattle game a bit, I have no concerns about Patrick Mahomes. He missed a couple throws, you know, but by and large, he's fine. Like, I'm not worried about them. I'm not worried about this offense. We've known the entire season that the defense has been issued with them. The hope was, you know, Eric Berry would come back and locked out. They were missing Kendall Fuller's game. So they were playing guys who I believe had never played before. That could be wrong. Poor Charvarius Ward was the cornerback who was absolutely just brutalized in this game. There was a guy named Tremont Smith. I'm not going to pretend like I knew who these cornerbacks were before this game. I'm not sure Andy Reid knew who they were based on how they played. But there's one play in particular that I wrote. Oh, by the way, you could say, well, what about the Chiefs' run defense? They're terrible. Actually, Seahawks did run the ball, you know, prodigiously on them as they have on every team, but they averaged less than 5 yards per attempt, so it wasn't completely devastating. I do think it was the pass defense that lost from this game. Now, it wasn't the deep threats, it wasn't the penalties, most of which were atrocious. There was one play in particular, Dominique, and that really blew my mind. It was, speaking of bigger, older tight ends, it was third and long, as it often is with Seattle, and Russell Wilson threw it to Ed Dixon. I don't know if you remember this, but it was, he was like, he caught it something like 10 yards behind, the first down marker, and three guys missed tackles. The aforementioned Tremont Smith just completely whiffed on him. Anthony, I mean, it was such a terrible display of tackling. And that's something that I actually think they can fix. You know, like, they're not going to miraculously turn into a good pass defense, but that's the kind of thing that can't happen because the pass rush is pretty good, as you know.
Yeah, so the one thing that pops into my mind is a question that just popped into my head, because I feel like a lot of these teams, when I'm deciding what their resolution is, I'm thinking of the entire team and I'm thinking of how whatever weakness, we can turn it into a complementary factor to their strength. So like the best teams are complementary. I think we're going to talk about the Ravens at some point. They are like the most extreme example of complementary team that is aggressive, blitzes a lot on defense, and is kind of conservative, runs a lot. And those things work out together. So I think about the Chiefs offense is their strength. So I wonder how you would change their style of play defensively to make it complemented. Because the first thing that comes to my mind is, all right, so maybe they should play more aggressively, try to jump routes, try to get picks and turnovers.
Turnovers, yeah.
So that the opponent is not allowed to keep Mahomes on the bench. Like, either they're going to score on us or they're not. Then the other thought is like, all right, maybe you just keep him in front and try to win in the red zone, which the Chiefs aren't very good at red zone defense, but messing around and forcing teams to take long drives, like, I think that is almost scarier than anything, because you want Mahomes in that offense with chance with the ball in their hands as much as possible.
Definitely. So just let them score.
I mean, what would you, I don't know. Do you have a better solution for how they can, because they can't get new players. They can try to tackle
better. What you're describing,
better.
Yeah, I know, it's sad. What you're describing, Dominic, is kind of what they've done, I think, in their wins, right? Which is, and this is a trend I think you're seeing around the NFL with mediocre to bad defenses, is they're sort of giving up on stopping the run. Okay, and we'll talk about that a little bit later when we get to some of these other teams that I've noticed that with. So the Chiefs are 32nd in run DVOA. They're 13th in pass DVOA, largely because of the pass rush. So I think what you just described is basically what they have to do is play very aggressively, go all out on that pass rush where they do have talented players. I should mention Kendall Fuller was out in this game, and I think that made a pretty big difference. You know what I mean? So there's a chance that the pass defense could improve, but it is so obviously the weakness of this team. And if they don't win the Super Bowl or make it to the Super Bowl, that's going to be it. All right. What do you got for the Bears?
Kick field goals. Make them go in. Cody Parkey is their field goal kicker. So again, I've tried to go off the beaten path and not find like the obvious thing. And that's what comes to mind. He has no postseason experience.
That's okay. Fine, whatever. Go with your hipster kicker pick. I don't care.
Their defense is phenomenal. Their offense is better than it should be. And I think Tariq Cohen is the key to their offense. And I'm not going out on a limb there. I think getting him the ball he's the most explosive player. Getting him the ball, hopefully he can make some plays for them in the kicking game also. But I do think that Cody Parkey has no postseason experience. He was 76% or like 75.9% kicking field goals so far this season, which is below league average. And not only does it matter because you need those points, and there's a chance. There's always a few playoff games that come down to somebody kicking a field goal. That matters also. But also what jumps out to me about the kicking game is how bad missed field goals are for field position. And whether you believe in momentum or not, and like this psychological boost or drain that comes from a big play, like that's there. But what is also very tangible is what happens if you miss a 40 or 50 or even 35-yard field goal. The opponent gets the ball in good field position, and that's not something you want to do to your defense, no matter how good they are.
So if you're the Bears, incredible defense, best defense in the NFL, although I think the Ravens, to me, the Bears and the Ravens are so far ahead of every other team defensively, but just talent, coaching, everything. So again, you're the Bears, best defense in the NFL, decent offense, you know, variable play from the quarterback, but he's been pretty consistent over the last few games. You're playing teams like the Rams and the Saints with high-powered offenses, although we haven't really seen that from the Rams recently. You're at, like, the 40, and just talking about what you're talking about field position, everything, and it's fourth and four. You've got Parkey. Should you go for it more often, given everything you just described? You know, his struggles, yeah. The fact that these defenses will, these offenses will easily exploit that sort of field position.
I think so. Like, I think that this year, and I don't have the numbers to support it, but it feels like coaches have been more aggressive this year than they have in the past. And some of it's been foolish, but most of it, I think, has been smart. And you have to play for the situation. The situation isn't necessarily, it doesn't add up to what a play sheet would tell you to do. Sometimes it's smarter to take the risk because of who's on the field. I think those sheets that many coaches have that tell you when you should go for it and when you shouldn't go for it, it doesn't take into account the variables that are on the field at that moment.
And who your kickers, right?
Right, because, which is one of those variables that I'm talking about.
Yeah. I know, it is interesting. I don't think we talk enough in going to the postseason about kicker struggles and Seattle, you know, there's kickers unreliable. I mean, there's a few kickers around the NFL, I think, that have been pretty unreliable. And unless you have a Justin Tucker, I think it is an undervalued aspect of offensive decision making. So that's a fair one for the Bears. I'm going to talk about the Patriots next, and I want to spend a little bit of time here because I think they're a very interesting team right now. So I think they got to go all – my resolution for them is that they need to double down on the run game because I'm on this Brady gradual decline train, and I want to hear where you are on this. I watched most of the Bills game because it was on locally here, not by choice. But I was interested. Brady went 13 for 24, 126 yards. Now, the Bills' defense is good. I want to, you know, throw that out there, and which makes it all the more impressive. By the Bills defense is good at defending both the run and the pass. The Patriots running backs, Sony Michel, who I think is fantastic, patient, has vision, could be one of the best running backs in the NFL. But everyone, James White, Cordarrelle Patterson, they tore that run defense up. They were averaging like 8 yards per carry. The Patriots were just murdering them with jet sweeps too. Meanwhile, Brady wasn't doing anything. So if this Patriots team makes it to the Super Bowl, Tom Brady could still have like a vintage Brady performance and he's still an above average quarterback, but they need that run game to continue working like it did in Buffalo, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. But I think that there is, if you are high on the Patriots right now, it is all mystique, right? It's just like all respect for what they've done because they haven't given us anything. Coach. If you change the numbers you change the decals on the helmets, like, we wouldn't be very high on this team. We wouldn't think very much of them despite the fact that they are going to get a first round bye. I don't think that what they've done so far this season has been all that outstanding. There's nobody that you can point to and say, that guy can carry us. But we can point to last season and the season before that and the season before that and understand that they are a team that's going to be prepared. They're going to have quite possibly the best game plan going into a game. And they have a quarterback who can be lights out. It happens less and less often, it seems, these days. But Tom Brady's Tom Brady. And in the fourth quarter, I think that the opponent is going to be a little concerned if the Pats have the ball with 2 minutes left and they're down by four.
And defense is still respecting, which is part of the reason why the run game can still be so effective in conjunction with him. I don't think his decline is so interesting to me, Dominique, because over the last few games, I've been trying to kind of puzzle through what is it, right? Because he still makes really good throws. I think, and I could be wrong, but I don't want to say he's afraid of contact, but He seems to be, it's not like he's hearing footsteps, you know, he is getting rid of the ball very quickly and he seems unwilling to take big hits, but there's something just like a little bit off about him and his hidden, where he just looks a little bit different. And I don't think it's like an arm strength thing. It seems more like a mental thing to me, which is weird because I don't think.
Yeah.
That's what people thought was going
to
happen.
So you think it's like a unwillingness to stand in the pocket and take one in the chest while you deliver the ball. You
kind
see
of,
that in him.
Yeah.
I feel like you see it, but you don't want to fully commit because his name's Tom Brady.
Yeah, totally. Well, and when I say mental, I don't want to be like he's not making right decisions or, you know, reading right. the blitz or whatever, although he's been bad against the blitz this year. I do think it's like, you know, he's like, I'm too old for this. Okay, you know, I don't want to get Lorenzo Alexander's bearing down on me. I'm not going to stand here and we're going to win anyways. I don't really need to. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, I mean, if you believe that that's the case, and I mean, that's something that he can address. He's shown it in the past, so maybe it'll be different in the playoffs. I don't know. I think that it's not just that though. And I haven't watched with the keen eye looking to figure out what's wrong with Tom Brady, because I kind of just assume that age is going to catch up to him, and it should have a long time ago. And part of what it looks like when you get old is that you still can have a little burst here or there, but you can't do it as often. And that's what it seems like is happening. Like, you see a good throw out of him in every game.
He can make the throws.
But he
it's
just can't
like
do it all the time.
Right, where he literally physically could not make the throw. No, you know what I mean? Yeah, no, I'm serious. He can still make the throws. I think it's just a sort of a totalistic thing. All right, so give me the Rams resolution.
Do something strange. They need to be different. Ooh. I feel like that's the problem with the Rams is they need to, they're, we don't think of the Rams as a conservative team, but they aren't conservative in, their play calling, but they've become conservative in their, game planning. I feel like the plays that we saw early in the season that we were like, wow, that's impressive. That's outrageous. And that really puts the defense in a bind. Those are the same plays they're running. And I think we've seen that kind of become earlier in the season. We're like, they're so consistent. They're always in single back with, zebra or 11 personnel with, tight splits. Like that was their formation all the time. We were like, yeah, that makes it difficult for teams to game plan against them because everything looks the same. But the problem is everything looks the same and everything is the same. And they've had a bounce back in recent weeks offensively, but albeit against a not very good, Cardinals team. But I do think, and you can go back to last year's playoffs. They were held to 13 points by the Falcons. I think it's because the game planning steps up and they don't do anything a little strange.
Interesting. Yeah. We've been trying to, I feel like the last few weeks ever since the Lions game, but then increasingly against the Bears and all that, you know, everyone's been trying to figure out what's wrong with the Rams. And I think you're mostly right, in sort of blaming predictability, which is crazy. You would have said that, I think, going into this at the beginning of the season. But, you know, when defenses are no longer biting on play action, when they're not falling for any of the sort of window dressing, pre-snap motion stuff, and when Jared Goff is consequently forced to drop back and be a passer and is being pressured and struggling, it just doesn't work, right? And a lot of that stems for me from the fact that their offensive line isn't quite what it was, especially in the interior. So something does have to change. I'm curious to see what McVay comes up with, because they've got, you know, Gurley and the line, the tackles are still good, and Goff, I still believe, can play at a high level, but you know, outside of Brandon Cooks, the personnel is not that impressive. So it does feel like it's going to be up to Sean McVay, really, to kind of cook up something.
I agree. And I think Goff's accuracy has declined. I remember the Vikings game because coming into this season, I kind of was thinking like, yeah, this is a lot of McVay magic. Goff's not that good. After that Vikings game, I was like, wow. Cause he hit like
incredible.
Three or four just on target in stride deep passes, which you know that I feel like accuracy might be the most important skill for a passer, because you can you can poorly read a defense and you put it where you want it. No one can do anything about it. But his accuracy was to a point where I was starting to respect him as a legitimate MVP type of quarterback. And that's fallen off, which is, it's interesting that we come into the season thinking, hey, McVay deserves all the credit for turning Goff into something special. And then when Goff starts doing poorly, we say that it's Goff's fault. It's Goff's fault that he sucks. Like, hey, we got to have it one way or the other. Like, the pressure in my mind is on McVay. And this is it's sad to look at it this way, but the opportunities to win championships are so tough to come by. The Rams, those two losses that they had late in the season, that could really cost them their chances, because they will not have the home field advantage throughout. And then we could be looking at McVay 5 years from now and thinking like he is Andy Reid, which is no insult, but it's different from being Bill Belichick, which is also a name that people have been saying near McVay.
Yeah, and we're talking about a Rams team that went all in this season, right? So, and created this window for themselves around their rookie quarterback with free agents, signees, and all that. And it's not going to be there in a couple of years, so you're absolutely right. I kind of have a similar one for the Texans. Not really. They're next for me. But it's this one's also for the coach. My resolution for Houston is O'Brien needs to let loose because, you know, I really put a lot of, I've watched them really closely over the last, and the Texans-Eagles game was awesome, and Deshaun Watson was amazing, okay? But he's coaching this, O'Brien, he's coaching this team like they are different from what they are, okay? So I've come to this conclusion. He's coaching them like they're a team with an efficient run game and a very good defense, and neither of those things are true at the moment. which is the run game. I saw a guy named Adam Wexler tweeted, over the last three games, Lamar Miller, who's been hurt, has averaged 2.41 yards per carry, and Alfred Blue has averaged 2.16. That's not good. Okay. So, and then, shocker. And especially in this last game, they were able, outside of Deshaun Watson, the running was completely missing. And the Eagles have a good run defense, so that's fair, but it's been missing for a while now. Meanwhile, their secondary is so banged up, so it's not really their fault, but they're not good. Again, they have a good front seven, good run defense, but teams are realizing that they can completely exploit this pass defense. As a result, O'Brien needs to be more aggressive. Like, enough with this run pass nonsense. Enough with the conservative play calling. He's got to unleash Deshaun Watson and assume that this team is going to have to put up a lot of points to win games.
Yeah, and I am as
easier
surprised.
Said than
yeah, no, I don't. I'm not knocking.
Go score a lot of points.
I don't think it's a bad idea, but I do think that they are. Those names on that defense. Are scarier than what the defense actually is, but they can be that. Like, let's not pretend that Clowney and Watt are not enough to destroy opposing passing attacks. So, sure. I don't know. I think that I'm not disagreeing with you, but I do think that there is risk in letting loose in a way that your team is not accustomed to playing and setting them up to come back from behind, which I guess Deshaun Watson's capable of, but they are low on receivers. injury riddled receiving core is tough.
Yes, that glorious touchdown where he broke like 20 sacks. And I know there aren't 20 defensive players, but there's 20 sacks.
Some people got a second bite at the apple. They got a second bite.
He threw to a guy named Vincent Smith. And unless I wrote this down wrong, which is entirely possible, Vincent is spelled V-Y-N-C-I-N-T, which feels dangerous because, you know, the I-N-T is in there. That's if someone gets picked off, you know, picks off fast in front of him, that's a bad nickname waiting to happen. All right, let's move on before the break to one last team, and that's the Cowboys.
All right, Dallas Cowboys. They need to be the Jags.
What?
that was the desired response. I appreciate you for giving that to me. So like last year, the Jags, their defense is
weird.
Their defense is not as good as the Jags defense. But I do remember, and Nathaniel Hackett has since been fired, but you and I have discussed how I thought Nathaniel Hackett, what he did in the playoffs last year was essentially making chicken salad. And mm-hmm. I think that
I agree.
What you're looking at with Dak Prescott, like I don't want to say that he's Blake Bortles. Like, he's not Blake Bortles, but I think that he is similar to Blake Bortles and they have a similar situation. And I think that they need to, lean heavy on the RPO, which is what they did a lot because they're aggressive running game, which means you're going to get a lot of single high situations, which means a lot of man coverage and, mm-hmm. you could either get man coverage or cover three. So I think you lean heavy on the RPO because you can't defend the RPO unless you're in man coverage. You force them to get in man coverage, which is when you then lean on Amari Cooper.
Amari, yes.
Yeah, they lean the safety that way, and then you go to work with guys like Cole Beasley or Gallup. Like, I think I think they have enough talent that a smart coach should be able to score more points and score them early. I think if they can score early, that they are a team that could really make a deep run in the playoffs and possibly end up in the championship round.
Dominic, you must have been listening to my podcast last week when I talked about how you can't play man against Amari, and that's how the Cowboys, whatever. No, well, it's cool.
I was listening, but I was listening on 2x speed, so maybe it sunk in, but I don't remember that. I didn't realize I stole that from you, but I think the point is, you can't, you have to force them into man coverage, using the RPO, and then you work Amari and they double Amari, then you got everybody else. So seems easy.
I got nothing to say because I think you're absolutely right. All right. So this week I will take some questions. Hit it.
Question. Question. Lenny, for your thoughts.
All right. I'm going to burn through these super quick because we're going through so many teams. Levitard does that mowing through college soon. That really stresses me out. But I have been very negligent on answering questions. So as always, if you leave a review, a positive review with a question, I will do my best to answer it. FerrisB1B asks, who is your favorite Terrace House character? It's a Japanese reality show that I enjoy. Obviously the legend, Sena, the goddess. None of those words I just said mean anything to Dominique. Jameson E asks, will the Colts get it together? This question was posed on October 25th. So yeah, they got it together. Colts have had such a... Chris Ballard, by the way, Dominic, totally deserves Executive of the Year. Have you looked at their drafts over the past two seasons? Because, wow, unbelievable job.
I'll take a look. So are you going to pick who you think is going to win that game later on in the podcast, or do I have to make
you pick
now?
No, we'll get to that. So, Hockey and Pearl Jam asks, what's your opinion of Pearl Jam? Well, Hockey and Pearl Jam, I have a feeling there's an answer that you want based on your name. My brother was a huge Pearl Jam fan growing up. What about you, Dominique? I'm guessing you were super into grunge as a teen.
I do know. Watch me flex my Pearl Jam knowledge. Their lead singer killed himself, right?
Yes.
No, that's not true.
No. Eddie Vedder.
Oh no, that's Eddie not Vedder's Pearl Jam. Did Nirvana. I blow it? Oh, it's Nirvana. Oh man, I'm black. I'm sorry. I grew up in Baltimore. I don't know
Pearl
Jam.
I was like, should I laugh here?
Oh yeah, you thought I was trying to be funny. No, I actually thought that that was Pearl Jam. I'm sorry.
This is
moving
like
on.
The Morning Roast RIP when there was like some band I didn't know and you guys were freaking out. Who was it? It was like a group. Not Bill Bev DeVoe, but like Bill Bev DeVoe.
What? Who?
No, I know Bill Bev DeVoe. It was
Bell.
It was another group.
Bev
Tony
DeVoe.
Tone. Is that Tony?
First of all, it's Belle Biv DeVoe, and it's Tony. It's a simple name to remember. It's three Tonys.
Can't find a better man. It's Pearl Jam. Meyer Spark Pimpin asks, what's holding the Panthers back? So this was asked a long time ago, but it's still true. I'm going to go with that defense. It just got real old real quick. Sam Kuby asks, Gunslinger Monty asks, I'll just take a few more. If you could pick a player to return a punt or kick to win a game, ooh, this is fun. Deion Sanders, Dante Hall, or Tyreek Hill? Wow, no respect for Devin Hester.
Yeah, I would not. Devin Hester? I'll go Devin Hester.
Yeah, I'll go Devin. Off the board. Really good, though. I'm going to go with Tyreek Hill. Not a Ravens fan asks, ooh, you're going to like this one, Dominic. If Flacco is on the list, is Flacco on your list of hottest QBs now that he's gotten hot? So, the Flacco glow up is undeniable. We've talked about it a lot. The hair. Makeover completely changed everything, but he's still not top 10 for me. How about you, Dominique?
Nah, he doesn't do much for me. I mean,
hair game.
Yeah, no. I think for growth, he's up there. For most improved, he's up there
most
from
improved,
his rookie
yes.
year. Yeah, he's up there from most improved rookie year to now. Joe Flacco is a supermodel.
By the way, I don't know if you saw Justin Herbert, the Oregon QB, going back to college. Joe Flacco's going to get paid $40 million by some team.
Good for him.
Good for him. Good for him. RockChalk42 asked, if you could live in any sitcom, what would it be? Party Down. It's one of my favorite shows. Last question, SeanWall23. You can only use one condiment for the rest of your life. Ooh. Ranch, ketchup, or hot sauce? I'm going to go with hot sauce because it's the most versatile. Ranch you can replace with blue cheese. Ketchup, I find often honey mustard will suffice.
Well, you can't replace any of those things because you can only use one, but that's okay. You don't have to follow the rules if you don't want to.
You're right. Dang it. I'm going to start back up with the Los Angeles Chargers. So this one's pretty easy for me, Dominique. Well, it's pretty quick, rather, and I'm thinking about it since their last loss to the Ravens. After that game, I don't really have anything for the Chargers defense. I thought they played really well. Aside from, I wrote down Jahlil Adé, why, 5 times. So play better Jahlil Adé or replace him. But Adrian Phillips is really good. But my issue is, and this is the resolution, Phillip Rivers needs to start games better. So he's thrown interception on his first pass 2 weeks in a row. Not great. Over the last 5 games, the Chargers have been outscored in the first quarter 43-14. And I just put a lot of that on Rivers and that offense coming out flat. So
that's it's interesting. I mean, I think it's accurate, obviously, but that's a tough thing to solve. You know, like it's a smart take.
None of these are easy to solve.
Yeah, like, I mean, I guess that's true. But I guess when I think about that, I start to think of like how would I address that if I were on that team or if I were a coach? How would I address that? And it seems like since Phillip Rivers has been in the league, he's been a guy who's been trying to win at the end of the 4:30 game and down by a lot, playing awesome, but a little too little too late. But yeah, I don't know because I feel
like having a different conversation if Antonio Gates doesn't fumble too. Like they were perfectly in position. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah. I mean, I think other people
have a
different conversation.
And the Ravens defense is amazing.
Other people have a different conversation. You still see through that nonsense, and you know they need to start better early.
I'm still super high on this Chargers team. The Ravens defense is so good, and we're going to get to them soon. So I'm not completely judging them for not putting up a huge game against them in a huge first half, especially I just kind of felt like they had Rivers' number. But, you know, they're probably going to rematch in the playoffs, which is probably good for Los Angeles. You never want to be the team that won, I think. All right, do the Seahawks.
I mean, let's hurry up and get my point out so we can get to yours. The Seahawks, to me, are the word that comes to mind is versatile, but not really. It's more volatile because it seems like they are the Ravens in that they have a dominant looking rushing attack and they play pretty good on defense and time of possession is important to their defense playing well. However, they have a quarterback who can go off at any moment. And I feel like they need that. I think the Ravens are playing the way the Ravens are playing because the Ravens have to play that way. I'd like to see them. My resolution for them is to cut Russell Wilson loose. Like I want to see Russ. I want to see Russ be Russ.
Preach.
But it's hard to reconcile that with the fact that they need to possess the ball in order for that defense to play well. I don't think their defense is as talented as defenses they've had in the past, despite the fact that they're performing well. I think part of the reason why they're performing well is because they run the hell out of the ball.
Yeah, the defense is average at best. And they're one, you know, earlier I mentioned how a lot of average defenses are basically giving up on run defense and committing more to the pass, stopping the pass, and I think the Seahawks it's what you saw in that Kansas City game, by the way, and it's something you've seen from them a lot over the last few weeks, and it's been somewhat effective as offenses move towards focusing on more in the pass. You know, it's kind of a call and response thing. The offense, everyone points to, you know, they're running the ball like the Ravens and whatever, and the difference is Russell Wilson, and he's making these like incredible magician like warlocky plays, and they're on third and long, and that's the plan. Like, count on Russell Wilson to do that. It's not a good plan, okay? Yeah. So I don't hate the fact that they run the ball more than other teams, but it, you know, you don't have to run pass that often, okay? Right. So I completely agree with you. I mean, Wilson looked, I thought, incredible on. I've been waiting the whole podcast to talk about this. against the Chiefs. Get me outplay Patrick Mahomes. Can we just acknowledge that for a second? Everyone hates it when I go homer, but whatever.
They won. I'll give them that. Hold on. We restart the league, start a new draft. Who you drafting first? Mahomes.
He's like,
okay. That's all I wanted to know. Stupid.
The question, the better question is,
win one game.
If we're playing one season. Yes, there you go. Win one game. That's where it gets interesting. I'll go Wilson. What about you?
Give me Patty. Patty Mac.
Please. Wilson's proven.
Don't, please it's don't. Close. Please it's don't close. Go into it's a close. Homer rabbit hole. Patrick Mahomes is better than Russell
Wilson. Mahomes is amazing.
Wilson.
What?
He's better.
Better. I don't agree with that.
Well, we'll see who, we'll see how the MVP
is. It's easy to look better when
it.
You have, Kelce and Tyreek Hill and that offensive line. Yeah, whatever. Okay, Ravens. Let's do the Ravens. Although, alright, no, I'm not gonna talk about the Seahawks anymore. Alright, so, my resolution for the Ravens is Lamar Jackson has to protect the football. So I got nothing for this defense. They're awesome. Okay. And you and I have watched Lamar's career very closely, and I've been pleased with some of the progression he's shown. He can make these amazing throws. I mean, you saw the touchdown pass to Mark Andrews. He has a very, very nice deep ball. He's still inconsistent, short and intermediate. You know, his accuracy varies at times. That's fine. He just has to stop fumbling and turning it over with that defense. No, you know what I mean? Which is weird because he did fumble a bit in college, but I didn't expect that to be as big of an issue, and I probably should have given NFL defenses in the speed of play. He cannot, if this team wants to have a shot to play the style of complementary football you described earlier, he cannot fumble the ball. Also, stop throwing it to Michael Crabtree. Thanks.
Yeah, they gotta have, they can't have empty
stop.
Drive.
No more. Oh, that was, I thought you were gonna, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Poor Michael Crabtree. Leave him alone. They can't have empty drives, I think is the problem. They don't have to score on every drive, but they have to move the ball on every drive. They need a couple first downs. Like, I think that's important to this defense is to give them the rest and to allow them to, get themselves in field position. Because I think what you can rely on consistently is that their defense is gonna get some stops and get some three and out. So I don't think that you kind of think of a drive as a larger thing and not just one time with the ball. It's like, all right, we might gain 20 yards this time, then we punt it away and our defense will stuff them. We'll gain 20 more again and move and get closer and closer. Like they're playing a different sport, it feels like, than other teams given their personnel. And obviously, Harbaugh is not going to be in coach of the year conversation, but I think what they have done, that team, that staff, what they have done with that team in midseason coaching is as impressive as anything we've seen this season.
Absolutely. Do you think they win these? Do you think they're in the playoffs with Joe Flacco if they had?
No.
If he hadn't gotten hurt? Yeah.
No. I don't think they're in the playoffs with Joe Flacco, no.
And again,
Joe Flacco, his passing numbers are very, while the yard is high,
terrible.
The yards are higher, his efficiency in passing is worse than Lamar Jackson's. So I don't know.
And the run game doesn't work with him in there. We saw that. It's, again, when we say that, it drives me crazy. People say, well, you think Lamar Jackson's so great? No, but he plays a style of football that's very good for this team. And they've, whatever, we're preaching to each other right now. All right, give me the Vikings.
Be yourself. I think that, and they've started to do this after they got rid of, DeFilippo and went with, who was the guy? Stefanski, who was a guy who was there. DeFilippo came over after the, he's a QB coach at the Eagles and he came over. And to me, it felt like they were trying to, like when you switch schools and you think you can go in school and all of a sudden be the cool kid, even though you were a nerd at your old school. Like, no. You're a nerd. Go ahead and be a nerd. It's fine. And they seem to go get a quarterback and go get a quarterback whisperer. And they think that they can come out and be something different. That defense is still incredible. While they don't have necessarily the offensive line to support the rushing attack that they want to have, they've run really well in the past couple of weeks. And maybe it's a bit, obviously it's a small sample size, but they went from 85 yards per game, which was 30th in the NFL, to the last 2 weeks, 160 yards a game, which is good for 6th in the NFL. They've scored more points. They've played exceptionally well on defense, which they've done for much of the year, despite the slow start. So I think that this team is a team that could make some noise in the playoffs. As long as they don't try to be, and Kirk Cousins is good. I don't think Kirk Cousins is bad, but you can't ask Kirk Cousins to be more than Kirk Cousins is. Let this team be what this team is.
Setting aside the fact that I feel personally attacked by that nerd transfer to new school analogy. I mostly agree with you. I entirely agree with you. It was interesting. I didn't watch, this last game in real time, but I went back and caught most of it, and seeing how effective their play action game was with when Dalvin Cook was getting going, you know, he's really good on those outside runs when they do outside zone. So you can see it all start to kind of click and start working together, and it's pretty obvious that Cousins is better as well. So I'm with you. I think the defense yeah, after a rough start, they really got it together. Pretty actually a while ago, it was just that the offense, you know, in that Seahawks game, the defense played incredibly. So I have no issues with them. The Vikings are winning. They're in, right? I think that's it. They get the sixth seed if they
win.
Yeah,
they, if they beat the Bears, if they beat the Bears, they're likely going to play the Bears again the following week, which is an interesting dynamic.
It's an interesting matchup. They're an interesting team in the playoffs. I don't know if I'd rather see them or the Eagles from an enjoyment standpoint. Not
right. I don't know. I'd rather see the Eagles personally, but I think the Vikings are going to get in. Yeah.
Just because the Foles factor is so weird. Yeah. We'll get to the Eagles. I'm going to do Pittsburgh now. So this is a really difficult one. Cause they're like one of those teams where everyone says their talent is so much better than how they're playing and whatever. And people blame the coaching, which I don't think is entirely fair. I'm actually going to say the thing that, and this is what they would need to do, assuming they're in their playoff, they make it to the playoffs and they need a resolution. The pass defense just needs to be more consistent. So, you know, the Steelers are at, if the Ravens lose and they win, they can get in. So they don't control their own destiny. They're not in this situation because of last week, right? Because that's on top of mind, the Saints. And when I talk about coaching, you know, Tomlin, the fake pun was weird, although that was more about an execution thing to me. And there was some really, really bad calls. The Hayden pass interference is one of the worst calls, I think, of the entire season. But it's the Saints. They're a good team. They're in this position because they blew leads to Denver, the Chargers, and the Raiders. And that Raiders game, the pass defense did what it's done all year, which is it's softened up, and that was a personnel issue they didn't address in the offseason, at the wrong times. Morgan Burnett, not great. Okay, so, and some other players in the secondary. But I don't really have an issue with Tomlin. It's interesting to me. I feel like he's getting a lot of blame, and it's some of it's based on the last game. This is the team that put themselves in this position, you know, the Browns game. I mean, it was the product of the entire season.
But people blame those things on Tomlin, though, is the thing. Like, I am not one to blame Tomlin necessarily, but I think people do blame the Browns game on Tomlin. They blame a team letting down against opponents that they should beat on Tomlin. I think the Raiders game is part you could put on Big Ben's injury. It hampered the offense to some degree until he came back. But I think that's why people blame Tomlin, because they don't know what else to blame. And I guess you would say that maybe it's the front office not addressing the secondary in the offseason. Yeah, but I mean, they also didn't address the Le'Veon Bell situation, which, or at least they didn't have Le'Veon Bell, which maybe they addressed it the way they wanted to address it. But I think he would have been helpful when they needed, offensive woes.
You know, either gotten rid of him or moved on and used the money. I mean,
they could have traded him. Yeah, they could have traded him for some corners or let him go and got some corners a while ago. But yeah, I think that's the proper way to look at it. It's not to say, well, how did they do without, Le'Veon Bell? It's the fact that you have, just a useless,
asset,
essentially. It's like he's not giving you any trade value. He's not giving you any on the field value. He's just hanging out. And that is a failure by the front office.
Give me the Eagles now, the team that we'd like to see in the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, the Eagles are playing with house money this year, and that's what all Eagles fans have told me, is they don't care. So I'm less prone to look at their team as far as playoffs is concerned. If I were, I would say that their issue is their secondary, and they need to help their corners and safeties as much as possible and allow their front four to rotate and allow them to do all the work, because that's their weakest point on their team right now, because Nick Foles is great. But I think they're more interesting in their offseason situation, because they have the Foles-Wentz situation, which I don't think is a major situation, but it's a situation. And if they win, it's going to be something. And I think that they could get in a situation where, Wentz is eligible for an extension, and they could choose not to extend him just yet, which I think would be a mistake. You extend Wentz now,
they're going to extend him. I think because I've been trying to understand this Nick Foles team option thing, right? So it's complicated because basically the team can pay him $20 million, but he has to be the starter. Then they could trade him, but he can also turn it down. And I kind of think Nick Foles is going to get paid, as we were just talking about Joe Flacco getting paid. So this is a big opportunity for Nick Foles, who I don't know how you evaluate him. He looks so much better than he did in the beginning of the season. It's very, very weird.
So to be clear, I don't think that anyone is advocating that they commit to Nick Foles. But I do think that there are probably people who think they don't have to extend Wentz this offseason. Yeah. They could wait another year or another couple years, honestly, and go into franchise mode after that. Like they could push this out further and further. But I would argue that you extend Wentz now in part because he hasn't played, much this season and you could get him on the cheap. Essentially,
maybe, yeah.
Maybe, like you would definitely get him cheaper this year than you would get next year because the cap goes up and someone else will get a big deal. But I think you could get him even lower than what, the asking price for a quarterback is this year, considering that he's come off some injuries. Like you could spin that as some concern and maybe get him lower on some guarantees. Like I think that is a way to help this team be good into the future. And obviously it's a risk because he has been injured a lot in the past couple of seasons.
The health stuff is concerning, but I still think he's a very good quarterback. I'm going to do the last two teams together. So we've got the play-in, Titans and Colts. So as of now, Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific time, it's still unclear if Marcus Mariota is going to play in this game. And if he doesn't, I do not think they win this game. So that was to answer your question earlier.
Yeah, right.
If he does play, I'm still leaning the Colts because he's clearly so hurt. It's like a nerve issue or something. He always has the weirdest injuries. It makes me feel like a stinger. But the resolutions, and I want to hear what you think, but the resolution for the Titans is Derrick Henry needs to have the game of his life and then the offseason the run of his life. I mean, that's, you know, this team, 25th in the pass, 13th in the run. When he goes off, they go off, and the defense is pretty good. Meanwhile, the Colts, no, not concerned about the offense. I am concerned about the run game if Ryan Kelly is still hurt, the center. But the defense does concern. They have a lot of talented players, and I alluded to earlier when I answered the Colts fans' question about how great their drafts has been, and everybody knows how amazing Darius Leonard is, and there's been, you know, Tyquan Smith and Danico Autry and all these guys. But the pass defense is still a concern with me. So that pass defense really needs to tighten up. They've been much, much better at stopping the run, which is why ultimately I think they're going to win this game.
Tighten up? You said it. I had to echo it when you said it.
Oh my God. I said that without even.
Yeah.
Thinking.
Well, you didn't recognize that you're in holiday mode. You're on vacation right now because normally Mina Kimes does not let a pun go unexploited because.
I'm so ashamed of myself.
You gave a tighten up when talking about the Colts playing the Titans. But yeah, I mean, I think
Tyquan Smith. It's Tyquan Lewis, but anyways.
Hey, whatever. But I think you're right. I think the game, despite the fact that it's on the road, right? The Colts have to go to Tennessee, I believe. And so that there's a bit of a hurdle there. But I mean, when you're looking at a backup quarterback against one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now, or at least playing as well as he's ever played in Andrew Luck, I think you have to go with that player. But if they want to make a run, I don't think that they're going to make a run in the playoffs. Like, I don't think they're
either team.
Yeah, either team.
You're talking about both teams.
I'm assuming that the Colts win. Let's assume that I don't think either team is very good or either team will go very far in the playoffs. I think the Colts are more intriguing and interesting and could potentially, Andrew Luck could just potentially have one of those historic games that we expect of a historic QBs. And Andrew Luck has probably been better this year than he's been at any point in his career. And I'd like to see him grow, but you're right. The defense isn't good enough for them, or at least.
I mean, they just got shredded by Eli Manning without Odell. Like. You know, they have talent, but, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the playoffs have a lot of teams that are mediocre, honestly. And there are only a couple teams that we think are, like, outstanding. And I don't think that the Colts are one of them. So I think they'll get in, and they might even get a first round. the Seahawks fall squarely into one of those teams. I don't mean mediocre, like league mediocre, but, like, playoff mediocre. Like the Seahawks could lose in the first round and I wouldn't be shocked, or the Seahawks could make it to the NFC Championship again and I would not be shocked.
All right, well, let's wrap up there, but first, before we end, final segment.
And now it's time for Dinks and Dunks. I'm getting paid for this, right?
So as always, I ask my guests five questions. I'm going to start actually calling audible and going riffing off of what you were just saying. My first question is, who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Saints.
Yeah. Were they your preseason pick? Because they were mine.
No, I don't remember who I picked in preseason. I don't know if I made a preseason pick.
Probably stupid. All right, number two. What was the best Christmas present you got this year?
I got a lot of nice clothes, so that's nice. I'm gonna be looking fresh next time I'm on TV, so get excited,
did
everyone.
Your kids
what about
get you,
you?
Clothes?
No. I mean, my oldest is 8, so they did, like, they made some stuff, and my wife bought some stuff and allowed them to put their name on it, so that was essentially what happened. What was your best gift?
They made you, like, I got a new bathrobe.
Oh,
really wanted. I love a good bathrobe. I'm a big bathrobe person.
Fancy.
Yeah. Not everyone's a bathrobe person, but it partially because I'm so cold all the time.
Yeah, I'm not a robe dude. I don't really wear robes, well, but whatever.
I'm all about that robe life. All right, question three. You know what? I'm going to call another audible. Do you think Patrick Mahomes, someone asked me this, and I'll tell you what I said after you answer. Do you think Patrick Mahomes has the potential to be the best quarterback in NFL history?
Of course he has potential too. Like he's.
Do you think there's a strong chance? Let me read.
A strong chance? No, I think that it's, I don't think, I mean, I think it's one of those things where it's a guy versus the field. Like it's just generally wiser to go with the field than the guy. Like I think he certainly has the potential. Like he has a situation with all these great players around him and all the talent himself and the great coach. So he certainly could, but I think it's less likely than it is likely for that to happen.
But if you were starting a team now, any quarterback, he would be the guy, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We did that. I did that with best guest ever, Matt Hasselbeck, and I went Mahomes, I think Mayfield, then Watson. I can't remember. Mayfield and Watson are really close for me right now. I really like them both.
So what did you say when someone asked you that? Did you talk about the progression of the league's offenses and his skill set, blah, 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 so you think he's going to be the greatest quarterback ever?
I said he could. They asked it as the potential thing, not the strong chance.
Okay, gotcha.
So, yeah. I mean, he's just incredible. He got
all
played
right,
by Russell Wilson, but he's incredible. question four, what's the worst take you've had this year?
Worst take? Oh, I think I said
take.
Yeah, I remember. The Chargers, there was some point like mid-season when we were like talking about contenders and pretenders, and I put Chargers in the pretenders box. That's the one that hangs out in my mind. I had a lot of really good right takes though. Most of my takes were right.
I don't care about those.
That's true.
Yeah. Nobody's asking you about
it. That one is the one that I will eat crow on. I think also I could throw in there Baker Mayfield. I didn't think he was going to suck, but I didn't think he should have been the first overall pick. And I am absolutely wrong about that. So that is two of my worst takes. Like he's a quarterback who can start in the NFL. Anytime that happens and he can be upper half of the league, yeah, you deserve to be number one overall.
You know, I've been, you remember I was really high on Darnold, but that's looking good now, but that's been a roller coaster.
That's been a roller coaster.
I mean,
which suggests that you're not right. The fact that it's been a roller coaster.
Jury's still out. jury's still out on that one. All right, last question, as always, comes from my co-host, Lenny. I will read it in his voice. Dominique! When you Google Dominique Foxworth, the seventh prompt is now Mina Kimes. Is my mom your boss?
I don't think that deserves an answer. I mean, I think it's quite obvious that Mina Kimes is everyone's boss at ESPN, so that's it. All right, let me Google my name. Seventh prompt, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. False. It is no longer that way. So, ha, you're not even on the first page.
Oh, I wonder if it's one of those things where Google reflects what you Google. It's because I Google
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Is that you Google your own name, and then you Google me. So
Darn it.
You narcissist.